the last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
Okay, Carl Thomas. Let's call a spade a spade. The murder of Alex Pretty by ICE agents. What did you make of it?
Well, I think it was tragic, terrible, unnecessary. I think the agents overreacted. When you look at the video, and the New York Times has done an excellent job of a frame-by-frame examination of the video, it's very clear to me, although there still will be investigatory elements in this, that the man appeared not to be a threat to the agents. Now, the New York Post is just reporting a few minutes ago that Mr. Petty had engaged with ICE officers a week ago and claimed that they broke his rib in slamming him to the ground. I'm not sure that's true, because anybody who suffered a broken or even cracked rib know that it takes a long time to heal. But look, Matt,
it's not necessarily relevant anyway, Carl. I think what's relevant is what we actually saw happening, and then made worse by the attempted cover-up by the White House administration. The comments of the likes of Stephen Miller, Greg Bovino, Kirsty Noem, basically smearing the victim of a murder as some type of terrorist, that he was an assailant who they shot dead because they somehow were in fear of him.
Well, he was interfering with law enforcement. But look, Matt, I agree with that. I've got a column coming on Thursday on the bad language, the unhelpful language used by both sides in this, dredging up Gestapo tactics and Nazis, calling people domestic terrorists. But let's go back to the beginning on this. You have your own narrative and I have mine. None of this would have happened, Matt, if the Biden administration had controlled the southern border and not let everyone in, including violent criminals, while falsely claiming the border was closed. Second, things would have gone much smoother in Minneapolis, in the city and state, if it had not declared themselves sanctuaries, effectively protecting criminals they would likely not have protected had they been homegrown. And last, protesters were interfering with law enforcement, which is illegal, but the media treated them as patriots. So let's start at the beginning. None of this would have happened if Biden and his administration had controlled the border.
You say interfering with the ICE agents.
Yeah.
Going to the assistance of a woman who was on the ground because of tear gas being used on her. How is that interfering with the ICE agents? Is that not a humanitarian act to help somebody?
The ICE agents were targeting known criminals who had already been convicted or were suspected of crimes, who were illegal aliens. The woman on the ground, presumably, and certainly Pretty, were interfering with their legitimate and legal activities. Yes, it is okay to demonstrate and protest. It is not legal, and it is not okay to interfere with federal officers who are assigned to arrest known criminals.
At the same time, can we believe or trust ICE when they tell us that they were arresting known criminals? Just because you're an immigrant doesn't mean that you're a criminal.
No, of course not. Well, first of all, if you're an illegal immigrant, if you came into this country illegally, crossing the border illegally, by definition, you have broken the law, and that makes you a criminal. Now, that doesn't make you subject to violent attacks by federal officers, much less shootings, but you still have broken the law. They were looking, as I understand it, for the most violent of the criminals. Do I think the Home Depots and the car washes and other places should be a priority? No, I don't. But I do think if you're a pedophile, if you are a rapist, if you are a murderer and have been convicted of these crimes, then you are a legitimate target for federal officers to arrest and deport back to the countries from which you came.
You see, this automatic assumption that immigrants contain within them loads of paedophiles and murderers and the mentally insane, which has been trumpeted by Trump and his ilk and his minions, applies to an awful lot of people that they hang out with who get pardons, or the Epstein files are not produced for, in case friends and themselves get caught up in those type of things. Mary McCone, this listener who also is making the point, Minnesota is believed to have about 150,000 illegal immigrants. But Republican states like Texas and Florida have millions. That this is nothing to do with targeting illegal immigrants. This is all about enforcing the will of the government over a democratically run state.
Well, I think there's certainly plenty of evidence to support that contention, absolutely, because as the listener correctly points out, the population of Minnesota, the percentage that's thought to be illegal, and that's using Cal's definition, somebody comes over the border without papers, is thought to be around 1%. As you say, about 150,000 people or thereabouts. We do know that in California and in Texas and in Florida, there are millions of undocumented workers, people who have come over the border without proper papers, are people who have overstayed their visas, which is not a criminal offence, by the way. That's a civil offence. So there you have it. And it only becomes a criminal offence, a felony misdemeanour, I beg your pardon, a felony, if you come over the border illegally and you are sent back and then you come back over again. So the law here is pretty complicated. I just picked up on what Cal was saying there, and I would say that it is not, the right to protest has been is upheld in the United States in the First Amendment. It is clear in the case of Alex Pretty, he was not doing anything. If you look at the video footage, which we have all tragically scrutinized, and it is harrowing and it is heartbreaking, you see him standing there, an ICE agent shoves a woman violently into his path. He picks her up to see if she's okay, and then they jump on him because he is holding a phone, because he is documenting peacefully what the ICE agents are doing. His other hand is visibly clear at all times. That was an extrajudicial execution. There's no doubt about it. I'm not going to call it murder because that's a jury's prerogative, but it was. We saw what happened there, and we see the revulsion that it has unleashed amongst decent-minded Republicans as well. But to get back to what's been said here, because nobody wants immigrants who entered America illegal, who are paedophiles, rapists, murderers and violent criminals there. The administration has every right to deport them. And Trump said all along, we're going to go after the worst of the worst. But let's just look at who they've gone after so far. If we go, that clown Gregory Bovino, the commandant of, a self-styled commandant of the border control or commander or whatever he called himself, he has been posting on his feed every day the people they're catching. They are every single person going by his post now are people who have DUI convictions. They're people who didn't have car insurance. They're people who had minor misdemeanors. They are not violent criminals. There was one person picked up who sexually assaulted a girl under the age of 14. He served, I believe, 4 years in prison first, something Jeffrey Epstein never did, and then he was being deported. So they got one person. In all of this violence and disruption, there has been one person picked up for deportation who is a felony paedophile and a sexual assailant. Now, so you have to ask, is all this worth it? And to go to what you said, Trump has a personal grudge against Minnesota because he lost the state in all three elections and lost it decisively. He is also, as we know, he is a xenophobe and he's a racist. And when he heard that there was fraud in Minnesota during COVID, which there was serious fraud, the same as there was in every other state in America, he immediately, when he heard that the Somali community there was involved, legal Somali residents, he latched onto it and he decided that this, he would put two and two together and he would send in a huge surge of immigration of ICE and Customs Border Patrol basically to hound Somali residents there in a form of collective punishment. So you have all of this fusion of things together, the complete mismanagement of ICE, the hiring of these goons who aren't trained properly and who are basically cast off from the Proud Boys and what have you. And you see their skittishness, their inexperience and their rage as it's manifest on the street. And the tragedy is not what happened. I mean, the question is honestly, in a way, that it hasn't happened more often. And I think finally Trump is taking some action. And if you want to consider Tom Homan as the lesser of the two evils, a guy who was caught on camera by an FBI undercover agent in September 2024, taking $50,000 cash in a bag and agreeing to send contracts the way of the supposed crooked businessman once Trump got back in power. This is the guy now who is seen as the lesser of the two evils, who is currently in Minnesota. And ironically, he well may be, because I don't know who could be worse than Greg Bovino.
Cal, you know from the many years I've been talking to you in this program how I think that the gun laws are ridiculous in the United States of America. But it is incredible, Alice in Wonderland stuff, the way that Pretty's execution has been legitimized by members of the Trump administration on the basis that he was carrying a gun and therefore he was a danger. When all the January 6th rioters who were pardoned by Trump and who the likes of J.D. Vance raised money for were all gun carriers, and yet they were regarded by the Trump administration as heroes. What's going on here?
Well, the right to carry, keep and bear arms is not absolute if you are entering a situation, as he was, which is volatile and involves federal law enforcement officers. I think people who are on the wrong side of this, frankly, who defend the Second Amendment and are trying to defend him bringing a gun to this kind of volatile situation. I don't think the two can be prepared, and I think they're wrong to do so. Look, I don't think there's purity on both sides or on either sides, Matt. I also think that we should allow the investigatory process to continue. There were people like Jasmine Crockett, who's running for the Senate in Texas now, who were out there immediately claiming that this five-year-old boy had been kidnapped by ICE when, in fact, his father had run from him and left him in the car trying to escape arrest. All of these people jumping to conclusions. It may help with the fundraising. It may help with the ratings, but it's not helpful to find out exactly what went on and how it went on. This has happened in too many occasions, and you'd think we'd learn from our past mistakes.
Do you think, though, Marion, that Trump is backing down, that he's realized that this has done enormous damage to him, that he is losing, apart from the MAGA mob, maybe those who are less committed to him, that this may be a turning point?
Yeah, I think it's to his credit, albeit a little late in the day, that he is realizing that the situation is out of control. And whether he's just doing it purely for political reasons, purely because he's worried about his base, purely because he's worried about really an absolute utter trashing in the midterms, although I have real concerns that Pam Bondi, in the middle of all this, has written to the state authorities in Minnesota demanding their election rolls. What that has to do with anything that's going on at the moment is quite beyond me, and I've said repeatedly that I think 2026 elections are going to be really problematic, and it looks like that's just what they're gearing up for in the White House. But I do think that if this had to happen, the situation has to be de-escalated. I do think that Kirsty Noem, and I know again we've said this before, she is so incompetent, and she and Bovino, they think that because they make these videos and set them to music, that that's their job, that they're like these TV villains or TV heroes as they would see it. They have no idea about how to conduct law enforcement. They have no idea and no interest in de-escalation. They have no idea in how to run a coherent organization. They just don't have the experience or the intelligence, frankly. So I think for Donald Trump to realize this, albeit late, very late in the day, and after two people tragically lost their lives who didn't have to, I think that it is, it's welcome that he is seeking now to de-escalate the situation and to send that guy Bovino back to California and strip him of his title and stop him from posting any more on the official accounts. I think that that's something that was long overdue.
Of course, what seemed to upset Trump more over the weekend until he realised just how serious the situation was, Cal, was the legal challenge about his authority to build his beloved White House ballroom.
Yes, well, talk about a side issue, Matt.
What he was posting about.
Yeah,
former presidents like Bill Clinton and Barack Obama were coming out about the assault on American democratic values, the serving president was more upset by the possibility that he won't be able to get his damn ballroom built.
Well, that's what I mean by a side issue. It is not something that has captured the attention of the American people. Look, we've had other modifications, perhaps not as radical as this one. Probably the most famous in the United States was the Truman balcony. There was criticism at the time Harry Truman had that built, and yet it was a wonderful addition to it and provides a wonderful view of the South Lawn. So I'm not particularly in favor of this. Look, I've been going to the White House since I was a kid. And my parents and grandparents, who are related to Calvin Coolidge, had gone there before me. The strength and the beauty of the building is in its modesty. Trump has ruined the Oval Office with all this gilded stuff that looks like it was bought from Home Depot. It's ugly. The fireplace, everything is loaded with gold, statues everywhere. That is not modesty. That is arrogance, which fits with his personality, frankly.
And if whatever about him getting worked up about the ballroom over the weekend, Marion, his wife, Melania, loved to see her documents for when she entered the United States originally in the 1990s, would love to know just how friendly she was with Jeffrey Epstein as well. We've seen her in photographs with Epstein and Trump as well. But anyway, she launched a documentary which deals with none of that type of stuff. And the bosses of the likes of Amazon and Apple were at a private screening in a specially erected cinema room in the White House before a big launch of the movie in, of all places, the Kennedy Center on Thursday evening. What does that tell us about the way the tech bros have fallen at the feet of Donald Trump?
Oh, you know, it's revolting. And I mean, I really think that this media, I'm kind of mildly amused that it didn't. And it's picked up by a distributor group and they sold one ticket so far online in their flagship cinema in Islington, and they've had to buy the cinema. They've had to rent the cinema space, basically, because they know they're not going to make it back on tickets. So that's how they're doing it. So you have Jeff Bezos, Amazon. You know, what's $75 million he has spent on this, basically a $75 million bribe to Trump, where he's giving, I think Melania got $28 million for agreeing to do this, and this hagiography of her. And then there's a $35 million promotion budget. Well, they're going to need every cent of that, because it's guaranteed that it will pretty well sink like a lead balloon. She's excruciatingly dull as a topic, I'm sorry to say. She really is, especially for a soft-focused topic like this. But, you know, in the White House at this black tie event, which should have been cancelled, it's so tone-deaf, as the whole country is stunned and grieving at the death of Alex Pretty and everything else that's going on. They go ahead with it. We know that there were three men, at least, in this small select gathering who have been accused or convicted of sexual assault. We had Ratner, the director, Brett Ratner, who six different actresses accused, who, if this is his first film in a decade, of sexually harassing or assaulting them. We have Donald Trump, who was found liable for sexual assault in civil court, accused by dozens of other women as well. And of course, we have Mike Tyson. So there's a savoury little crew, plenty for them to talk about. But I just think the fact that all these CEOs turned up, Tim Cook, what is he doing there? You know, it's revolting. And I just don't think it's good for business. I think they're taking a very myopic view. I don't think that their customers, you know, in Apple, we all pay plenty for our phones and whatever. I mean, does he need to be hobnobbing around the White House, yucking it up with Trump at every available opportunity? It's bad for the brand. So I just find it all really disappointing. And I think the irony is, the Washington Post, which was one of the greatest American papers in history, is about to have its foreign, what we're hearing, all of its foreign correspondents, or at least a substantial number of them, axed, and its sports department axed. And, you know, you have to wonder how many foreign reporters' fees, because they don't get much, and salaries and expenses could be paid with $75 million.
Okay.
Bezos had his head screwed on right.
We leave it there. Thank you very much, Marion McCone and Carl Thomas.
The Last Word with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
Did you know that Byers Airport Subaru is the oldest Subaru retailer in the entire country? And we're conveniently located right by the airport. Start your journey today at columbussubaru.com. Byers Auto, driving the next generation of buyers.